Almost 2 years ago, I started through the book of Hebrews, and it was November 27, 2011, that I stopped because we were going into Thanksgiving. Holiday season took over. Moses was so gracious to give me almost the entire year off of preaching in 2012, for which I'm still grateful. Thank you for that. And we've come back around now to 2013. When you start something, you need to finish it, if at all possible. Amen. If it's the will of God, you need to finish what you start. So here we are. We're coming back to the book of Hebrews. And yet I feel that it's so just right or so appropriate in my own spirit as I even looked at this. And I did some things to it and added some things, but I want to teach it again, bring it to us again, so that we can refresh our memories concerning Hebrews chapter 11 is where we had stopped in 2011. But I want to get to this because it is of great importance, and there are many questions that people have about faith, and of course the faith teaching that has gone over. A couple decades and so forth, prosperity gospel, all these types of things. You know where I stand concerning that. If you don't, I'll refresh your memory again in this message because it's very important for us to understand contextually what the author, of Hebrews was teaching when he said, now faith is. Because I've heard all sorts of teaching, and you know some of the perils that have befallen me because of that, I've shared over the years. But I want to kind of look at a couple verses in the end of chapter 10, and then move into chapter 11, and I'll get you out in short order here. Father, now we come to your word and we thank you, O God, for this opportunity to hear the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we need to hear your voice, Lord, each and every day, Lord. And so we thank you for this opportunity. And as we come, Holy Spirit, would you open up the eyes of our heart? Would you cause us to see and cause us to hear? Cause us to understand, O God, and cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name, amen. So throughout the book of Hebrews, let me just bring us up to speed a little bit. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the author mentions faith. Faith, okay? Faith is one of the things that abides. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. But one of the things that abides or that will continue is faith, right? So this is a very important subject, topic, if you will. But you'll remember in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, the author reminded the people that the word preached didn't profit the people because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it, right? And so the gospel came to them, the word came to them, but because it wasn't mixed with faith, didn't profit them. Then in Hebrews chapter 6, the author speaks about the doctrine of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So in chapter 6, he visits faith again. Later on in verse 12, in the Hebrews 6, the author speaks about those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay? Through faith and patience who inherit the promises. Now I've heard a number of sermons on you and I inheriting the promises. I remember being in a conference a few years ago, and a very well-known man got up. He said, there's a transfer of wealth coming to the church, to the Christian church. And he said, now you need to be in position and you need to be ready for this transfer of wealth. Now, when he said that, you can imagine everyone in the out in the congregation sat up and said, well, how do we get ready? Whoa, I want to be in that number. I want to get ready. And, well, you know, somehow I missed that transfer of wealth. Didn't come my way. And I'm not gonna go there, but I could go there and begin to tell you why it didn't happen. Then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the author tells the people to draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then we come now to Hebrews 10 and verse 35. I want to begin to read there. It says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Do we have any long distance runners in here? Do we have any? You ever notice the frame of a long distance runner? But I tell you, okay, put it this way. If you want to see what a frame of a long distance runner doesn't look like, look here. Look here. Okay. You know, long distance runners usually are kind of tall and kind of, you know, look at Emmanuel, kind of that frame, you know what I'm saying? Although he's more muscular than your average long distance runner. Long distance runners are lean guys. They don't carry a lot of weight. It just seems like sometimes I see them running, you know, you're driving home and there are people that are running and they bounce. They actually bounce when they run. You know, it's effortless. Me, when I pick up one leg, it's like I move heaven and earth to get the other one. It's like I'm running in mud. I mean, it's like I'm looking at these runners. I'm like, Lord, look, that's not me, you know. And but these long-distance runners, they have this quality called endurance. And so, you know, it's one thing to have faith, but beloved, faith is not enough. Now I'm getting off my message. But faith is not enough. We need endurance. It's not enough just to have faith. Oh, I believe for a moment. Oh, I believe right now. Week later, say, you still, oh, no, sugar, I don't let that go. No, I don't believe that no more. Oh, no. Faith and endurance. He said, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those, rather, who believe to the saving of the soul. Who believe to the saving of the soul. Listen, your faith and my faith, we all know that it has a destination, right? 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of my faith, the end of your faith, is the salvation of our souls. And so the writer of Hebrews here is saying to these Hebrew listeners that the faith that you have, you need to hold on to it. Don't cast it away. Endure with it. Keep it. Retain it because you're going to need it. It wasn't only important in the beginning, but it's so much more important here at the end. And he then begins, in Hebrews chapter 11, he then begins to go and talk about that faith that these just have. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. Hebrews 11 is not about getting a car or a house. Now, you say, but Pastor, I need a car. That's okay. God can bless you with a car, okay? He can bless you with a house. He can bless you with healing. He can bless you with all these things. Let me, like I always like to say, let me tell you one thing just in case I mess it up and you don't get it. But in this particular studying of this passage of Scripture, what I came to find out impacted me so much, just astounded me, was this. When, as you read Hebrews chapter 11, it says things like this. By faith, Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice than his brother Cain. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out into a country, went out to a place that he would inherit, not knowing where he was going. By faith, it said Jacob blessed his sons, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, and it keeps going, by faith these people did this. Now listen. Yet what I heard so much teaching about faith was that what I was being taught was that God's given you faith to move him. In other words, if you have enough faith, if you can believe God, God will do this for you. But Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abel offered. In other words, the faith that God had given them changed them. It didn't change God. Amen? Because sometimes you'll hear teaching that says if you have enough faith, you can change God's mind about something. You can get him to give you this or give you that. Listen, God's perfect. He doesn't need any changing. Let me tell you who needs the changing. Oh, my God, come on. Look in the mirror. That's the one that needs the changing. And so, you know, in case I don't get there, in case I mess that up, I want you to get it. Pastor said. Amen. All right. So, I am not sticking to my notes. That's because I have a lot. All right. So, we are believing to the saving of the soul. And it's interesting I have this in here because someone asked me this at greeting time. You don't believe once and live like the devil going to heaven. You don't believe once and just live like the devil the rest of the time and expect to go to heaven. You believe and receive Christ as Savior and Lord to a changed life, and you grow on from there. Right? Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and listen, church, I am not against faith. I'm a man of faith. You've got to know that. But what we can do is we can be imbalanced. We can be lopsided, and we can have selfish views of Scripture that try and extract something from us at the expense of God's will and his purpose and his glory. And that ought not to be. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I can take this scripture and teach just about anything I want to it. And in some cases, that would be allowed. It could be applied. But if I take it in context, the writer says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me tell you what is being hoped for. Let me tell you what is the evidence of things not seen. Because some people say, you don't see that, you don't have the job that you can see it, and it'll happen. That's fine. That has happened, by the way. It's not wrong. But I can tell you this, it's not going to happen for everybody. It's not going to happen for everybody. Just go, you know, and poll people and say, have you ever, yes, did it happen? No. Why? I don't know. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. No, that's not why. Faith is the vehicle through which salvation comes to us. Genesis 15 and 6 says this, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The scripture says, now the just shall live by faith. Which came first, them being just or them believing? It was them believing. Because the scripture says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now the just shall live by his faith. In other words, believing God and what, believing his system and his way of receiving justification, that's how a person of faith becomes justified. You see, and so you didn't become justified and then you believed. You believed, and because of that, you were justified. Now, faith allows you to have now what God says is yours, even though you don't see it with the natural eye. Faith allows you to have now what God says is yours, even though you don't see it with the natural eye. Faith allows us to see and possess salvation now, and yet more fully at Christ's return. I want to look at this this evidence of things not seen. In John chapter 20 and verse 29, it reads this way. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they have believed. See, and so what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in its fullest context, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, he's talking about salvation, period, salvation. And as I teach, in salvation is your car, your house, your healing, your child. Listen, in salvation is everything that you could need. Everything. So we need not be sidetracked and say, I'm going to take my attention off of this, off of the Lord, and I'm just going to focus on believing for this. I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to confess for this. No, no. If you have to leave the Lord to do all of that, then this has become an idol. No, just know that in your God, if he's big enough to save you, he's big enough to provide for every one of your needs. In Christ, every need is provided for. That's why the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek anything else. He said seek ye first the kingdom. Everything will be added unto you. Why? Because we don't have to tell God how to do this thing. It's his. He's already done it. He's already provided for all that we need. Peter, so we are blessed with believing Abraham because we have not seen Christ, but we believe that he was and he is to come again as Lord Almighty. 1 Peter 1:8 says, Peter says this, whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. In both of these scriptures, the one that was not seen was Jesus. I'd like to point us, when the scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that the not seen that it's talking about is Jesus. Peter said, though you haven't even seen him, yet you love him and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 4, and he says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, how often do we look at things not seen? Thank you. Often. You know, think about it for a second. Eve got in trouble because she kept looking at the tree that God said not to look at. She was looking at temporal things. But had she been looking at the unseen one, who was God, she would have not given into that temptation. But she kept looking at it. When she saw that it was good looking to the eye, and it was looked good for food and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. What is hoped for is that which God has promised, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it simply is salvation in this case. And we'll see that as we go on, particularly as we get to the end of this chapter, which we will not do today, by the way. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, I always put forward, if God doesn't speak, it's impossible for us to have faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There again, God is even responsible for our faith. Oh, come on. He's the initiator of everything. If God does it, we can't. Right? If he doesn't create us, we can't do anything, but he created us. If he doesn't speak, we can't even have faith with which to be saved. If he doesn't give salvation and offer it through the gospel, we can't have faith to know about it or anything. God is the great initiator. He's the one who started all of this. The Wiersbe, expository reads this way. True biblical faith is not an emotional kind of wishful thinking. It is an inner conviction based on the word of God. And so in Hebrews 11, 1, the word substance means assurance, and evidence means proof. So when the Holy Spirit gives us faith through the word, the very presence of that faith in our hearts is all the assurance and evidence we need. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present, and the invisible as seen. Huh? Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. That's why at my mother's funeral, I wasn't concerned with her body being in the casket, because the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I wasn't thinking about her laying in a casket. I'm thinking she's in the presence of Jesus. How? By faith. Faith says, now it's mine. I'm looking at Dave 2 days ago, and I'm thinking he's in God's presence. He's not here. He's with the Lord. Why? So how can Christians go to a funeral service and rejoice and begin to praise God? And why? Because we're people of faith. And we possess now what will be more fully ours later. And we take great hope, and we have great excitement and great joy because of that reality. That doesn't mean the sorrow isn't there. It doesn't mean you don't miss your loved one and all that. But it does mean that I'm looking forward, or I possess now what is going to be a greater reality in the days to come. And so we take great comfort in that. And so it goes on to say, through faith we can see what others cannot see. When there is true faith in the heart, God bears witness to that heart by his Holy Spirit. By faith, Noah saw a coming judgment. Remember, it says Noah moved with fear to the savings of his house, built an ark, saved eight, condemned the world. He saw coming judgment. How did he see coming judgment? Because God told him. God spoke. And when God spoke, Abraham, he believed God. Faith arose in his heart. So when God speaks, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When God speaks, faith is erupted, is ignited, and then he moved with fear to the saving of his house. Right? So by faith, Noah saw coming judgment. Abraham saw a future city. God says, I'm going to bless you and everyone who blesses you. I'm going to bless everyone who curses you. I'm going to curse. He says, Abraham, who was, by the way, had no children, wife's womb dead, he's dried up. They can't even produce children. God comes and says to him, Abraham, if you can count the stars, so shall your seed be. Now, beloved, we don't know what that's like. But Abraham looked up at the stars and said, I believe you, Lord. Yes. And it said it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He believed what God says. God comes to us and he speaks to us too, you know. So Abraham saw a future city. Joseph saw the exodus from Egypt. Remember, he told the people, he says, listen. He said, God's going to visit you, and you're going to go up out of here into Canaan. He said, but when you go, make sure you grab my bones. Take me up out of here. He spoke that by faith. Why? Because God had given him an God had spoken to him And he prophesied, as all patriarchs did, of the future generations. And so he saw that. And by faith, Moses saw God. So when, you know, the author, in through this passage of Scripture, he's going back to the very beginning, all the way back to creation, and he begins to unfold the case of faith for these Hebrews. So in verse 2, he says this, by the elders, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Huh? Listen, do you know what that's saying? How is the only way that we know today that the worlds were framed by God? This right here. God wrote it. Do you know what that says about the power of this book? When God says it, you know, when God says it, people either receive it or they reject it, right? But when God says it, there is the ability for a person to have faith and believe what God says, because faith comes by hearing. So we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Tell that to a naturalist and see their nose squint up and they look at you like you're crazy. That's impossible. And yet when you study the cosmos, because the universe is expanding at such a rate, they all postulate that since it's expanding at such a rate, that there was a time when it came down to what they call a singularity. And they said, what we just don't understand is, we don't know what made everything go boom. They don't know. Well, when God speaks, there's always a boom. When he said, let there be, there you have your Big Bang. All right, so let me get down through. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. And so we notice that the faith of Abel did not get material goods from God, but allowed him to give what was right to God. In other words, Abel's faith, with it, he didn't extract anything from God. His faith actually enabled him to give to God, to do the right thing, which was what? Offer up a proper sacrifice. And yet, because we have to be careful, because we understand we still live in flesh, and flesh wants everything for itself. I don't know about your flesh, but I know my flesh does. And so as I'm looking at these scriptures, I'm looking at what the faith did for these saints. And it wasn't to wring the hand of God, to twist the mind of God, but it was to help them serve God. And so we go on. In Genesis 3:21, God instituted blood sacrifice to atone for man's sins. Abel acknowledged that he was a sinner in need of the mercy of God, offered through the blood of the Lamb of God. So he offered a lamb, and not just a thank offering, the fruit of the ground like Cain. The faith in his heart brought about the right acts in his life. The faith in his heart brought about the right acts of his life. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, some of what I'm beginning to extract out of this is that then the faith that God has given me is in me to help me live right before God. Oh, yeah. Now, I haven't heard that preached. Come on. Now, I haven't. No one been shoving that down my throat. What is that? You mean the faith? You're looking at a boy who lost his car because he put his car in the shop and just trusted God, believed God, I'm going to have the money to pay for it. And when it came time to get the car out, I didn't have the money and lost the car. And said, so be it, God, if you just get this thing out of my way, this will never happen again. That was one thing I kept, glory to God. You know, that's one of the ones that this will never happen again. Never did either. Amen. And so, so God, the faith that he's given us, as we see in these people's lives, let me just keep going on. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Now, I want to remind you, Enoch, when he was believing God, he was not believing God to be translated. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God had taken him. The was not part was God's idea. Enoch is just walking with God, you know? And so what we see here, let me get back to this. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had taken him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, aside from God, where do you and I get faith? There is no place to get faith. God, it's impossible to please without faith. So what does God do? God speaks so that we can have faith to please him. So the faith that I do have, I got to give all the credit and glory to God, because if he didn't speak it, I wouldn't have it. And if I didn't have it, I couldn't please him. So even when I please God, it's not up to me. When I please him, he gets all the glory and all the credit. You see what I'm saying? Do you see how God started this thing and he's keeping it going? And yet we were taught years ago that, no, you have to do it. Oh, my goodness, you got to strengthen your faith. Oh, why wasn't that person healed? Because they didn't have enough faith. For real? Are you serious? And that's, am I the only one went through this? Does anyone have any inkling of what I'm talking about? Does anyone have, oh, okay. I just want to make sure I'm not, you know. And so, so he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Genesis chapter 5, we read the account of Enoch. Verse 21, it says, And after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say someone walked with God for 300 years. I mean, we could say we know Noah walked with God for at least 100 years. He was 500 years old when he built the ark. But here it says that he walked with God. By faith, Enoch accessed what no one did before him. He had access to God and availed himself of a relationship that he could have. He didn't walk before God under his constant scrutiny. He didn't walk after God, making sure to follow every detail of the law. But he walked with God in agreement with him. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Right? So the author of Hebrews plainly shows the believers, these believers, that faith is what decides how a person responds to God. Faith is a response to God, right? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So faith is a response that we have to God. And it determines how we're going to either walk with God or not walk with God. The faith gospel being preached today and in some days past attempts to show how a person can get God to respond to their faith. And I understand where that comes from. In the Gospels, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And there are applications there. But in the Gospels, we would have to go back and also look at also that Jesus came as the Jewish Messiah, and that there were promises made to the Jewish nation that if they received the Messiah, all the works that Jesus did as the Messiah, he did to confirm who he was. I'm not going to get into all of that. But he came for the Jewish people. And if they had faith in him, then they would receive all of the blessings, the miracles, so forth and so on. Isaiah chapter 35 talks about it. Many other scriptures talk about it. So much preaching has gone forth in our day about getting God to respond to our faith, when it's actually quite the opposite. The faith was given so that we could respond. not so that God could respond. Enoch was not believing God so he could be taken by God or translated. That was God's idea. Enoch simply walked with God by faith in a perverse generation. Okay, so without faith, it's impossible to please him, but he who comes to God must believe that he is. So it was important for these people who were wrestling in their faith. These Hebrew believers were thinking to themselves, we're going to walk away from this because of the persecution is so extreme. If I were to go back and tell you the history of chapter 10, this was not too long before the fall of Jerusalem. And what Jesus prophesied about running to the hills, the Christians did. And the Christians ran to the city called Pella. And they all were safe in Pella when 1 million Jews died at the hands of Titus as Titus rolled into Jerusalem with the Roman armies. And they burnt Jerusalem, tore the temple, and burnt the temple, melted the gold, pulled the gold from between the stones. Remember, Jesus said, not one stone will be laid atop another. And they melted the gold and took the temple walls apart and all of this. So that actually happened. And scholars believe that it happened right in between chapter 10 and chapter 11, where we just come from. So he tells them that your faith is very important because without your faith, you can't even please God. So that's why we understand him saying in now Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 7 reads, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared. Look at what faith did for Noah. Because Noah believed what God said, he moved, he prepared, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. His faith didn't move God. The faith he had moved him. Listen, church, sometimes when God speaks to you, when he speaks to me, he ain't trying to move himself. He's trying to move you. Hello? Amen. And so I remember the day when I was driving down the road and the Holy Ghost said, get out of this lane. Like, he didn't say it like that. It was just in my spirit. Move. And beloved, all I knew was I had to look back and turn my wheel. And as soon as I got out of that lane, 5 car accident, and I would have been number 3. 5 car accident, right one after the other. And I thought to myself, I thought to myself, that was God. That was God. But listen now, what if I hadn't believed it was God? What if I had just thought, but you know you get that, you know what it feels like when God's speaking on the inside of you. You know what I'm talking about? So if you don't listen to that, then you get what's coming. But see, when he spoke to me, he was trying to move me. It doesn't do me. How am I going to? Hold on. I remind you of your word. You said, well, hello. The problem ain't there. No. The problem is here. It ain't heaven. It's me. I'm the one, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Right? So God spoke to Noah, and he said, you know, I'm the end of all flesh has come before me. He said, I'm going to destroy them all. So faith is not given to you to get, faith is not given to you to get God to do what you want. It is given to you so that you can believe God, obey God, and in so doing be delivered from death. That's what we get from Noah here. Believe God, obey God, and in doing so be delivered from death by that very faith in God. Because, you see, if God didn't speak, there would have been nothing for Noah to believe in. God initiates, man responds in faith, and is justified in doing so. So the author of Hebrews shows convincingly the importance of faith to his hearers. The same faith is necessary for us to, as we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and yet look forward to the coming kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. So I want to just read verses 8 through 10, and then we'll close it down. Excuse me. It reads, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place with which to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Now watch, you know, when you read Hebrews 11, notice when it says, by faith, when these people moved, they could see nothing of what God had promised them. They could see nothing of what God had just said. When Noah started building that ark, not a raindrop had fallen from heaven. When he told Abraham, your descendants are going to be like the sand by the seashore. Abraham did not have one. Sarah wasn't pregnant. Nothing. I mean, it was just to get an idea, when you read this, when it says by faith, no, by faith Abraham, look at where they were. You just have to look at where they were. I mean, it was they had totally had to believe or have faith in the promise that God had just spoken. Right? So it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place with which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Has anyone ever done that? Yeah. People do it all the time. And in a way, there's a likeness to which you and I have done it already or in the midst of it. Because see, when God saved us, he set us on a journey. And you don't know where you're going, okay? And by faith, you're just walking with God. But now watch, because there's a divine parallel right here. It says, by faith, let me draw it up. It says this, that by faith, he went out, he obeyed, called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Psalm 37, verse 11 says this, that the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Many scriptures talk about the righteous shall inherit the earth. Beloved, we're the righteous. And we're going to inherit this earth. Because God says, I'm going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And we are that people, just like believing Abraham, we have gone out and we are now believing what God has said. There's not one shred of evidence that it's going to be that way, is there? I mean, some of these people, these kingdom now theology and dominion theology that says Christians are going to rise up and we're going to be governors and mayors. I'm talking now. We're going to put a Christian president in the White House and Christians are going to rule. And when we're ruling, Jesus Christ is going to come back. I said to myself, are you out of your mind? Have you ever been in an organization where there's all Christians? It's as messed up as any organization with no Christians. Are you serious? You mean a world where there's a Christian mayor, Christian, hello? Oh, no. Where do we see it? It's called the church. Everyone in it saved. Everyone, but it's toe up. Wherever there's flesh, it's toe up. So that's, beloved, that's not how it's going to happen. Cancel that. I'm not with you on that. I have no faith in that, and that teaching of that theology. No, count me out. No. I take my chances with some of the unfaithful. Good heavens. I could tell you some stories. But anyhow, it goes on and the scripture says he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, 1 Peter 2:11 says this, declares that you and I are sojourners and pilgrims in this life. We are sojourners and pilgrims, right? Which means we're just passing through. Abraham, if you remember, he was just passing through the land. He didn't own anything. You know what the American dream is? Own your own home. You know, people breaking their neck to own their own home. Can I tell you something? You know, I've been living almost, this year I'll be 49 years old. I've been living for a little while now. And I've been thinking to myself, you know, when you leave here, when we leave here, it don't matter what type of house you got. No, I mean, I'm really feeling this. I'm really feeling this. It doesn't matter what type of car you drive. Doesn't matter what type of house you live in. It doesn't matter what you have. Because we're simply sojourners of pilgrims. We're just passing through. You know, when God said, Abraham, you're going to own all this land. Oh, Abraham did not own one grit of sand. He didn't own anything. When he did buy land, he bought it to bury his wife. That's the only way he got the land. And he died. But he had inherited that little bit. All right. Let's move on. It says this, verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Very important, dwelling in tents. Do you know what 2 Corinthians 5 says? It says this, when we have put off this tent, what is a tent? A tent is a temporary dwelling. The New Testament calls these things that we put so much effort and stuff into. Now, you need to take care of yourself, right? But the Bible calls my body and your body a tent. It is a temporary dwelling place. That's why, but see, now you can know everyone don't believe this, because go to a funeral and some folk think that you're supposed to live forever. Why, Lord? Hold on, y'all. We're going to go sometime. But we get it in our mind that this is home. We get it that we're really living here. No. We're dwelling in tents. The way Abraham, it says here in verse 9, was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Philippians 3:20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven. Citizenry is where you live. It's where you live. You and I are citizens of heaven. It's just that we get it wrong, and we get so comfortable down, we get so into things and get everything the way we want it, that we think, this is actually it. This is home. Beloved, this is not home. The writer of Hebrews is trying to tell these Hebrew Christians something. Don't cast off your faith. You need it to get home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims, sojourners, living in tents. And here these people sitting up here saying, come buy this tent for $1 million. I'm like, who on earth can buy a tent for $1 million? This house over here, $1.2 million. I'm like, it's a tent. This is a tent. These are tents, temporary dwellings. 2 Corinthians 5, let me just read it to you real quick, because this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Listen at this. For we know, and I hope we know this, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now let me ask you something. Which would you rather live in, a tent or a building? I'll take the building, thank you. The scripture says that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Let me tell you something. You can't make a house good enough for me. There ain't no man can make a house good enough. God says, I'm going to make you a house not made with hands. It's going to be better than anything you, oh, you could never imagine this. And so he says, this house is not made with hands, and here's such a beautiful part, eternal in the heavens. It's eternal in the heavens. And so I could go on. He says this, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And so Abraham, we are like Abraham passing. Abraham was passing through Canaan. You and I are passing through this life, dwelling in these tents, which when we pulled off, see, Gabriel, my mother, your mother, come on, are in their building. They're in the house made by God without hands, eternal in the heavens. Right? And so then he goes on and he says this, heirs with the same promise. Verse 10 says this, for he waited for the city which has foundations. Abraham was looking for something more. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now let me tell you something. There is no city here whose builder and foundation is of God. Right? Abraham was looking for a city. He never got to that city. Revelation 21 and 2 and verse 14 declares, John said, and I looked and behold the new, or the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. He said, this city has 12 foundation stones, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That city in Revelation 21 is the city that Abraham was looking for. Now get this. We have the faith of Abraham. You and I and Abraham are looking and going to the same city. The same city. We have the faith of Abraham. We're going to end up in the same destination as Abraham, in that city that comes out of God from heaven. It's called the New Jerusalem, which just happens to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And so when we read Hebrews 8 through 10 talking about Abraham, we're reading about him in the past, but we're also reading about us in the future, because it'll go on. We'll get to that. Yeah, it goes on, but we'll get to that next week, because I'll get ahead of myself. So, Abraham by faith was waiting for the same city we're waiting for, and the Bible says that God did not want them to obtain it without us. We're all going to have it together, okay? So this necessity of faith, this is why it's so important. You know, when I walked into the casket and saw Gabriel there, when I walked past my mother's casket, whenever I'm at a Christian funeral, 2 Timothy 4:7 comes to my mind, which says this, I fought the fight. I finished the race. Those two are metaphors to expound and shed light on what he's really saying. The third line says this, I kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. When I walked past Gabriel, I thought to myself, he kept the faith. You know, when it's all said and done, what God wants you to have when it's all over is, did you keep the faith? Did you throw it away? Because the devil tried to get Job to curse God and die. That would have been throwing away your faith. And the devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy, that same devil walks about today wanting Christians to cast off their faith. He's after the same thing. He's after our faith. That's why Paul says, I have fought the fight. I finished the race. Those two are just metaphors for me to get home when I'm really trying to say to you, I kept my faith. The devil didn't get it. And that's what God is doing in our life. That's why your faith and my faith is so important. And that's why this message, the necessity of the faith, that's why this writer went through Hebrews chapter 11, not to magnify people, but to magnify the God of those people who allowed them to persevere in faith to receive and inherit the promises. And the fullness of the promise is our salvation fully realized, which will be realized when Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we thank you, O God, for the faith of our salvation. We thank you, O God, for your word, that as we hear you speak, faith is ignited in us. We thank you that the just shall live by his faith. We thank you, oh God, that our faith, though it is tried with fire, Lord, oh, that the genuineness of your faith, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, Peter declares to us, Lord, that whatever our faith goes through, that it will remain intact. Oh God, that whether you tarry or return, there will be a people and there will be faith on the earth, believing you for your great return. Father, I pray this word would not only be heard, but lived and fleshed out and realized, oh God, Father, as we walk with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless your house, bless your people, bless your bride, I pray, to be filled, Lord, with your word and with your spirit. All this day and all this week, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you real good.